RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. What a day. What a few days. It is chaotic out there.
Chaotic. Well, it looks pretty peaceful in my backyard right now.
That's nice. So we have a lot to cover, just like we did on Monday and Friday. Tons to cover. So we're going to get right into it. Before we begin, I do want to say that I want to thank everybody out there for their patience as I deal with this nonsense website debacle that I cannot seem to, it's working a lot better now, so we're on the path to recovery, but the other day, my website, it's a long story. Anyway, just hang in there with me. We're working behind the scenes on this really, really hard to get everything back up and running the right way. That's that.
Congratulations. I know that was weighing on you.
Oh, Lord. You have no idea. It is... Anyway, okay, so let's start off with what happened yesterday evening. General Michael Flynn filed a motion in court to withdraw his plea deal. That means that he now will, if the judge grants the motion, move to trial and sit in front of a jury of his peers, plead his case, and then hope for a not guilty verdict.
Oh, boy.
Now, we've spoken about this a ton, right? We've spoken about, you know, what the differences are. Like, what's the difference if he, you know, gets sentenced by a judge or if he gets sentenced by a judge after he's pled guilty? I don't know exactly if the sentence can be different if he goes to trial, whether for the crime. Like, I think the guidelines are the same. I don't think they change the power of your guilty, you know, verdict to be stronger if you go to trial than if you plead guilty. You know what
so,
I'm saying?
So you're saying it would be 0 to 6 months either way?
Yeah. So I think that it's a wash in that aspect. Like, he can't get more than 6 months anyway. And if the judge decided to charge him and convict him and, you know, it's 6 months, then what's the difference? He may as well try and prove his innocence because he's innocent.
Right.
So that's that. But what's interesting about this is that his the motion that was filed includes about 17 attachments because Sidney Powell and Molly McCann, her other attorney that works with her, don't do anything half-assed, okay? If there's one thing that I've learned from reading all her filings, she really, really, really does a good job with her case. She references in this the judge throwing out all of their requests for Brady evidence. And she also talks about how the judge basically kind of says, why did you do this? It doesn't make any sense. It's clear what's going on here. I don't understand. Well, we don't understand how you could possibly have ruled the way you did. There's transcripts from the whole motion is really in reference to the Farrah case that was overturned by the judge in the Farrah case. Because in the sentencing guidelines, what the government basically accuses Michael Flynn of purposefully subverting their case in the Farrah case where he was called to testify and ended up not testifying.
Mm-hmm.
Since he's given in his plea deal, signed it until now, until a couple months ago when Sidney Powell took over, the government has maintained that he has been a ridiculously amazing guy who's cooperated fully with everything. He's been very helpful in several different investigations. In open court, they have declared over and over again that they are not accusing him of being a co-conspirator, that they don't think he was involved in it, you know what I mean? All this stuff. And then all of a sudden, when it appears you know, they asked him to sign a statement and testify to the fact that he knowingly and willfully lied on his FARA form, and he refused to do that. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. So when he refused to do that, the whole government's case went to crap because they had nothing else. So they were furious at him. And that's when they said they put Michael Flynn Jr. on the witness list again, and they kind of retaliated against him for that. But he was maintaining, I from the beginning, I've told you that that's not the case. I'm not going to lie on your behalf in open court. I'm just not going to do it. And what in the sentencing guidelines the government filed last week, they said he's obstructing, you know. Then the government started calling him an unindicted co-conspirator in court. The judge Trenga in the FARA case said over and over again, like, this is just abhorrent what I'm witnessing. You've maintained all along in front of me that this man had nothing to do with this. And now all of a sudden you're saying he was a big part of it. And then again, he overturned the guilty verdict put down by the jury because he said the government has done absolutely nothing to prove that the government of Turkey was in any way materially involved with the work that Flynn Intel Group did on behalf of a client called Inovo, which was a firm in Turkey that wanted help trying to undermine Gulen. It's a big, long thing. It's very complicated. But long story short, the judge even said, and Judge Trenga in the FARA case said, this is absolutely ridiculous. The government puts a sentencing motion in the other day, guidelines in the other day, and excoriates Flynn for pages about how he's lucky they didn't charge him with FARA violations. And, you know, how could he do this? He's been uncooperative. He revoked, you know, he went against the terms in his plea deal, all kinds of nonsense. Really, really kind of hateful, borderline hateful rhetoric coming from the government in the sentencing memo. And then yesterday in Sidney Powell's filing, she details with proof, with factual evidence and documents, how the government's lying. Starting all the way back when they first drew up the statement of offense. And there is a version of the statement of offense that shows strike through on some of the language inside, that the government was trying to assert that Flynn lied on the FARA, and his lawyers, even at the time, who were conflicted in this whole thing, said, no, he didn't. We're not letting that go in there. And they made them strike it out, and they have the edited version of that, and they're showing it to the court where it was included. The lawyers for Flynn stepped up and said, don't, this is bull nonsense. And then they struck it out and sent it back for review. So for many, like, I could have sworn reading all the other things that Sidney Powell has filed that they would be like, the judge would be like, it's pretty cut and dry here. You know, here's the documented evidence that you're lying, but he didn't do that before. So I don't know what he's going to do now, but I will tell you that, as you know, Frank, we're lucky enough to be having General Flynn's brother, Joseph Flynn, on the program with us on Friday. So we will go through a lot of this then.
Well, how many judges are involved in this case? You just mentioned a judge name that I haven't heard before. Is it because there's two judges providing over both the lying thing and the FARA situation?
Yes, yeah. So let's quickly, because that's a great question. The beginning of this case, before any of this all came out, way back early days, was Rudy Contreras, the FISA judge. You remember that?
Yes.
He had to recuse himself. We still don't know if he did it himself, if he was removed. He was mentioned in the struck page text messages. He was part of this. And they, because of that, I assume he had to step down from the case because it was obvious there was some sort of cooperation going on there between Strzok and Contreras. Even if Contreras didn't know about it, they were talking about utilizing him as an asset. Okay. Mm-hmm. He steps down. Judge Sullivan steps up. He's been the judge ever since. Even through when all of us kind of sat there and said, why is he doing this? And reaffirmed his guilt in that hearing where Sullivan basically called him a traitor and then had to correct it and walk it back.
Yep. I remember that.
We were all like, what in the hell is this man doing? Right.
But in the months that followed that, I feel like we were all led to believe that Sullivan was on to actually getting to the bottom of something that was good here and exonerating. Like, he's actually cutting through the smoke screens and the lies and that stuff. And then, of course, there was another flip-flop.
Yeah, he was. And you know, the way he worded everything he did to General Flynn at that hearing showed that he was aware there were problems. And he gave General Flynn several opportunities to you know, withdraw his plea or claim that he was being misled or he wasn't being represented correctly, all kinds of issues. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I guess under the advice of counsel and very, very pressured, he didn't. And that's one of the things that has come back to haunt him throughout this. He gets rid of Covington and Burling. He brings in Sidney Powell, and Sidney Powell gets you know, right down to business in kind of supporting what actually happened, what is the truth in this case, and trying to get to the bottom of, you know, the 302 discrepancy, all the nonsense that we know. Plus, she mentions in her filing from yesterday, there are several other reasons why they're going to withdraw the plea that she just needs more time to put together. And she says, you know, you postponed a hearing to wait for the FISA report to come out from the IG because there would be information that was revealed in that FISA report that would like shed light on this case. And then you didn't even wait at all until you accepted the sentencing guidelines, which doesn't mean you didn't even give us a chance to address any of that stuff. Mm. They just, she also says the government, like Sidney Powell has to submit, and quickly, Trenga is the judge in the Farrah case, completely separate case. There's Sullivan and Trenga, that's the only two. But, you know, you have, as a defense attorney, you get to submit to the government before they submit their sentencing guidelines why it is you think you should have a downward modification of your sentence. Like, you know, I've been an upstanding citizen for this long. I do this for the poor. I've never had problems with the law before. Just basically a reason I've served as a major general and the head of the DIA for my country. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they were told they needed to do that immediately. They were forced to work through Christmas Eve, on Christmas, through Hanukkah, and then whenever they would reach out to the defense attorney or to the government attorneys with questions, the government attorneys had their out of office messages on and they couldn't get any answers because they were all on vacation. They got their information to the government on time. The government was late twice in filing with the court. So they basically screwed him over through the holidays on purpose. Mm. Made his attorneys work through the holidays. You know, if it was a normal attorney, she would be charging him triple time because she's got to ruin her Christmas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's sick. It's sick and gross and disgusting and a travesty what's going on in this case.
Well, then I just hope that he gets himself a good jury. That's the final straw here, because obviously we can't. It's sad, and who the hell knows what goes on from here and what lies around the corner. But it seems like you just can't trust federal judges anymore. And taking this strong case to trial would mean at least there would be a way that Sidney Powell can very clearly articulate the reasons why this is a sham to a new set of hopefully independent eyes and ears. I don't know.
This is the issue that I foresee. And of course, I'm not an attorney, but following this case as closely as I have and reading all of the paperwork and all of the responses and motions, the charge is lying to federal investigators, right? That's what he's charged with. That's it. It's not you were an agent of Russia. It's not the Logan Act. It's not you had some role in a collusion scheme with President Trump and Russia. It's you lied to Joseph Pienka and Peter Strzok, and that's your offense. So it's very narrow. She doesn't get, the judge will not allow, I'm going to tell you right now, evidence about, you know, how there was this conspiracy with Crossfire Hurricane. It's quite literally to examine whether or not it is true that General Michael Flynn lied to those two agents. There's many ways she can prove that it's not true. Okay. But she's going to have hurdles in front of her. number one, like I said the last time, that that the judge's opinion in striking down, throwing out the case, where he basically argued the government's case for them and agreed with them that he was guilty of what he was being accused of. That's going to be a huge hurdle to get through in front of a jury when the government holds that up and says even the judge in this case agrees that he committed these crimes. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's good, and I need to talk to Joe and a couple other people. I would really love to get Sidney Powell for an interview to go over this minutia and talk about this stuff with her. Because I think it's things that a lot of people don't, you know, everybody's really focused on the broad aspects of this case and not so much on that. And I think that a lot of our listeners would enjoy something like that.
I think so, too. I just wish I had better questions to ask because this has been so confusing. But I was reading through all of the highlights that Technofog had put out last night and what was included in this reversal of the plea, and I liked it. Yeah. I just like it from the basic standpoint of at least he's bringing a fight to the table. You know, I would not be able to sit down with anybody and tell them soup to nuts what's happening here and, you know, everything. I couldn't do it. But I just want to see people fight at least.
I agree with you. Finally, somebody is showing some chops. They're not rolling over. They're actually doing, you know, they're doing what they're, what if he, listen, at the end of the day, this is another thing I think that people need to understand too. A couple people said, well, he lied to Pence. He should never have lied to Pence about what he said and what he did with Kislyak and blah, blah, blah. And we talked about this with Lee, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what it comes down to is that for normal people, including Representative Devin Nunes, what Flynn was talking to Kislyak about weren't sanctions. They were a dumbass move by an opposing political party to screw an incoming administration on the way out the door. Nobody took them seriously to the point where they would call them sanctions. And I think that there was a loss in translation here, and that's what the problem is. So,
yeah, but you would think that at that level there would be a little bit more of a reason to take your time and to really iron out what the miscommunication was. I mean, if it really was something that nuanced and something that could be explained and understood as to where things went wrong between Michael Flynn and Mike Pence up until the point where Flynn was fired, then, I mean, why so hasty? Why was everything so hastily done?
Yeah, and Lee Smith talks about this in his book as well. He says, you know, as from the standpoint of the Hipsy and Representative Nunes in particular, that they begged the administration not to fire General Flynn. And they were under pressure, and it was one of those early, early decisions where they figured if they did this, they'd be left alone. Like, almost, and that's a common theme, like, if we just acquiesce here, they'll stop. And obviously that is completely untrue. So Devin Nunes worded a very strongly laudatory, complimentary statement to General Flynn when he left. You know, basically praising him and saying what a good servant he is and that this is nonsense and whatever. In addition, you know, the government throughout this case has done the same to General Flynn. Even way before saying, you know, he's been absolutely instrumental to the case in the special counsel's office because he's one of the people that has the most knowledge about what happened because of the length of time he was there. You know, like and all of a sudden when they don't get their way, they completely 180 degree reverse course. And it's just disgusting. It really is. There's no words for this. There's just no words for it. And, you know, not only that, but even in the beginning, the special counsel, like the judge references the special counsel report several times in his response to some of the motions. And in my opinion, like if you're going to do that, you really need to understand that they lied in that report. They omitted words that fundamentally changed the context of sentences in transcripts. You know, these transcripts were then admitted into the case of General Flynn as evidence of the transgressions of the government. Like, it is blatantly obvious to anybody with a brain who's trying to be impartial, even. Like, even if you are, like, just, it's just, I don't, we are in a very, very sad state in this country with the justice system.
Well, I mean, it's also just an extension of the behavior we've seen elsewhere with omissions and edit jobs and trying to fit facts and evidence to a narrative instead of just laying out facts and going with them. So, I mean, he's Michael Flynn is just one of many fronts that are being. That this war is being waged on right now. And it all started from 2016.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, another thing. There's so many things. But another thing here is that the government made mistakes in identifying the agents who were responsible for the 302s. They misidentified which agent wrote what. Which I don't believe. That's a CYA move. Like the just the mistakes in this are
No, there is no possible way that any of these people, whether we're talking about James Comey or anybody else, don't remember anything. Maybe I don't remember what I don't remember my shopping list last time I went to the grocery store. Okay, I don't remember I don't remember the impulse buys when I got to the register, what kind of gum I got or if I got anything at all from a shopping excursion in A&P grocery store 3 months ago. But for these people to be part of such investigations and projects of such merit and historic consequence, for anything to be lost to the rabbit hole or the memory hole and anything like that. It's so ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And, you know, now, like I said, we'll talk to Joe on Friday and we'll see what he has to say. It'll be a great, great interview, very timely and poignant. And we'll go from there. See if I can't, I have talked to the amazing Sidney Powell before. So maybe we can work something out over there on that end of the fence. And that's that for now. And I still, to be quite honest with you, need to familiarize myself with the meticulous detail of the Farrah case. So that's something that I plan on doing because it's now crucial to this. So that's one of my next major things. So you covered last night on your show, Frank, this article, right? This New York Times article accusing Russia of hacking Burisma.
Yeah, isn't it funny?
They're really doing this again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're doing it all right. They're going there.
You know, I got some insider information from Helga. She said that her crew was part of that.
Oh, I have to imagine that they haven't stopped. You know, one door closes, another door opens, as they say. I do have a couple of things I want to bring up with this because I know that you did a pretty extensive look at whatever is available already on your channel. I told people about that last night too. If they wanted more details on, you know, the people involved and what campaigns they may or may not be working for and how there is a significant flip-flopping around from challenging and being skeptical of the first Russian hack of the DNC mm-hmm. to now actually bolstering and delivering a secondary identical story that is being run out there. Now, My question about this here is, I mean, why would once again Russia try to help Trump in Ukraine against, I mean, an all around senile man Joe Biden. Trump, number one, what's the impetus here, and what's the reason for Russia to do this? Here we have, we're 3 years into Donald Trump's first term. Trump has armed Ukraine to the teeth, which supposedly was to be an anti-Russian deterrent, something that President Obama would not do. Why is Putin trying to get Donald Trump reelected? And number two, it goes to show how bad liberals are really at telling stories, because this is like breaking. This is so far beyond what we have come to know as hacking, which is a very mysterious digital cloak and dagger, you know, dark alley kind of a thing where you're in secret, you're in the shadows. This is like breaking the front window of a bank in broad daylight with everyone watching you.
Yeah.
I mean, is this really the state of Russian spycraft? I was asking this last night. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if this is anything as advanced as Democrats hacking this thing themselves, or just making up a story to block or obscure what was being found out there in Ukraine, because this would not only protect the Bidens, but it protects the Kerrys, the Pelosis, and the Uniparty at large. So the thing here that I wanted to bring up, which is the biggest thing that made me go, what? And I didn't even need to know anything about the damn story. All you need to know is what the headline is and who's pushing it. People like Hillary Clinton that are already saying, will the GOP stand idly by while this happens?
Yeah.
Will we allow Putin to pick another president? You know, it made more sense for Russia to help Donald Trump as a candidate in 2015 and 16 because, I mean, he was an unknown quantity, and he said he wanted to change the way that we approach Russia on the world stage. But he's president now, and we know that he has not been a very Russia-friendly president, and he has an attorney general by his side now. He is pretty much overseas and is in control of the DOJ, and Rudy Giuliani has been pounding the pavement for months. As I see it, Russia's involvement in this can only help the Democrats this time around. Why does Donald Trump need a hacking of Ukraine by Russia when he now, as president, has so many more resources at his disposal to actually conduct legitimate investigations?
When we did a brief little back and forth on this yesterday, all of those points were perfect and spot on. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but it doesn't seem to matter. It doesn't matter.
No, it's a CYA, like you said before. It's another firewall, because if there is something coming out now, they could at least feebly say, oh, this is all ill-gotten information, just like they said with the DNC leaks. They didn't contest any of the validity of the things that we were seeing, the stolen primaries and everything else. They didn't contest any of that stuff. They just told you it's illegal for you to see it, and who the hell took this?
Well, it's funny because that's I believe one of the points that they're making. They make that point in arguing the case for this. Like, the New York Times in that article says, you know, rather than focus on who did it, people were swayed to focus on the substance of the emails. And I'm like, we didn't need you people. Like, we didn't need any. They didn't need to propagandize those. They were pretty straightforward. You know, it was
and the best thing is that New York Times is saying that we should be wary of doctored emails.
Yes.
Because, of course, who's been doing all the doctoring lately? And were any of the emails from the DNC leak doctored at all? No, there was never any claims of them being doctored. It was just all evasive maneuvers to draw eyes away from it all. So not only should we be wary of where the information is coming from, we should also be skeptical as if to how much of this is actually even real.
Yeah, and I gotta say, let's just quickly go over some of the points that I found yesterday, because I think it's pretty telling. So Oren Falkowitz is the owner of the company Area One. Area One is the company that supposedly discovered this phishing attempt or these phishing actions on the Burisma server and was responsible for reporting them like this in this report. And then the New York Times takes it, right? Area One, Oren Falkowitz is a former team member on one of the most elite hacking teams in the NSA, the team that was responsible for creating the Stuxnet worm, which was used to infiltrate Iranian centrifuges, remember? Yes. Do you know much about Stuxnet?
No, I know only because, but I remember it.
Well, there was something that went awry between the Israel and the United States with Stuxnet. Yeah. I'm not going to get into minutia on it, but it's a really interesting story. You guys should watch the documentary Zero Day if you have any more questions about it. But it was that's why this particular thing got loose, right? It got loose. It was then a global problem instead of just a Iran problem. From what I remember, I could be wrong. I don't think I am. But a lot of people kind of stepped up and said, that was nothing. And I'm like, not so much. So they were responsible for Stuxnet. Anyway, he and his friend, whose name I have written down here because it's a lot of names, his friend Blake Darchet and his friend Phil Syme, C-Y-M-E, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, leave the NSA and they start a company called Squirrel, S-Q-R-L-L. That company is sold to Amazon. Then they start another company called Area One, and back in 2014, operates for about 2 years with about $25 million worth of seed money kind of under the table. And interestingly enough, Blake is one of the founders of a company we both know very well, Frank.
Oh, really?
CrowdStrike.
How convenient. Mm.
Yes. But what's interesting is this. If you didn't know, if you came across Oren's presence online and you discounted his pronouns listed in his profile, you would, and you read his comments and statements over the years, you wouldn't dislike the dude. He is privacy-centric, at least outwardly. I mean, obviously there's a problem here now, but I was like, okay, you know, believe it or not, I do approach every topic from an objective standpoint because you don't find the truth otherwise, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't know there was any change in Oren if I didn't do all this back research and say, wow, this guy actually is not so bad then, right? His statements back in 2016, he was interviewed quite extensively. I'm going to just read one of his statements made to Business Insider, to TechCrunch on 7/26/16 after the hack leak of the DNC. It starts like this. It says, but other security experts say that a sloppy email leak filled with evidence of Russian involvement would be uncharacteristic for a country's sophisticated spy agencies. He says, quote, there's the breach and then there's someone leaking emails to WikiLeaks. Those two things don't necessarily have anything to do with each other. He says the most salacious emails go back to a different time in the campaign. To release them at the beginning of the general election campaign isn't consistent with the nation state's objective to change the outcome. The most contentious DNC emails released so far trashed Bernie as a mess. And Falkowitz points out these messages could have had a stronger impact if released during the primary. Again, quoting, they probably would have released it when it was really tight between Hillary and Bernie. To think the Russian security service FSB would not recognize the difference in impact of timing is ridiculous. It's spurious to say that they're trying to influence the election, and if they are, they're doing a really shitty job. You're talking about one of the premier intelligence organizations in the world, okay?
Yeah.
This follows a common vein of his comments about Russia hacking the DNC and giving the emails to WikiLeaks. He doesn't believe that it's true, okay? Then I start stalking his Twitter. Or actually, then I start researching how his company works. What do they do? And they take a very different approach to what they do. And this is all very important, and I'll explain why. I'm not trying to bore everyone. They are much more apt to take a watch and wait approach to things like this. Because what'll happen is, let's say it's a Chinese state actor. A Chinese state actor will hack into a dairy farm in Iowa, okay? Mm-hmm. They'll then use the dairy farm as their jump off point to fish another organization, which obviously gives them a veil of secrecy because it's, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So Oren's company like sniffs for these attacks of them taking over someone else who doesn't have any idea that it's even happening and isn't the target, right? And then he'll go to those people and he'll say, We'd like to install software on your computers and servers that will monitor what these people are doing, you know, so that we can learn what their tactics are and then be able to more easily identify things in the future. With every single thing they've done that has been documented, that's what they do. Sometimes for 6 months to a year, sometimes longer. It's all about them their mission statement is to preemptively stop phishing attacks. And phishing attacks can come in the form of an email sent to a lawyer at a law firm from somebody within the law firm saying, please open up this spreadsheet. Let me know what you think. Okay. If you're an executive and your boss sends you a spreadsheet and says that, what are you going to do? You're going to open it up. Mm-hmm. So in April of this year, they go to the FEC and they ask for an opinion, and they ask the FEC to evaluate whether or not it would be considered an in-kind contribution to allow political campaigns to use their software at low or no cost, because it's expensive, but they want to try and stop phishing attacks on campaigns. So they figure if they use this software and they're involved, they can stop those. I don't have any problem with that. Do you?
No.
Right. Okay. So the FEC goes back and forth. They argue back and forth about it. Some lawyers for the FEC didn't think it's bad. Some think it's good. The opinion comes out. They end up saying, yes, this wouldn't be considered an in-kind contribution because separately, you're also doing this for other companies and not-for-profits and whatever. So they're allowed to do it. So they start working with campaigns. All of a sudden, the Twitter changes. All of a sudden now, he's sending links to the Mueller report and hacking of the DNC to Politico reporters that are still questioning the veracity of the conclusion in terms of what happened at the DNC. He becomes a lackey for the CrowdStrike narrative, okay? And moving forward, I checked out the FEC donations, and he's donated in 2016. He was donating to John Kasich.
Oh, John Pan Kasich?
Yes. But that's a Republican. Well.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
You know what I'm saying. He could have been donating to Clinton. He wasn't, right?
No.
He could have been donating to Sanders. Yeah. He could have been donating to anybody on the left. He wasn't. He was donating to Kasich, maybe to stop Trump. I don't know. Maybe he's a Republican. I don't know. Maybe he's a never-Trumper. Who knows? Long story short, he donates to this cycle, Warren and Booker. And I pinged him on Twitter and I asked him a bunch of questions. This activity was identified in November of 2019. It was November 19th, I believe. It is now January 15th. How many months is that? Two?
From which?
From November.
From November
to January?
Yeah, about two, depending on what days in the month you're starting counting.
So the company now has an 8-page report about how this is the Russian FSB hacking Burisma after completely abandoning their entire business strategy and throwing it to the wayside. And this report is like this loosely, well, these are the things that they usually use, so it must be them. After all the comments that he's mated, that he's made in the past about how, you know, they wouldn't be so blatantly obvious about their activity.
Well, it's not only going to be used as a diversion and a firewall for whatever may be coming down to sully to pretty much say to hell with the message because the messenger is untrustworthy. But it's also, I mean, you tend to forget because it's being used like every other mind-numbingly dragged out process that we have been through in the last few years. But it's going to be used to bolster something. Yeah. Over the course of the impeachment trial that I think that Mitch McConnell and the Republican Senate has given way too much validation to. They should have thrown this out on their face. No court in the country would have taken a case up like this as after it was put together so partially No court in the country would take up a case like this. It's pathetic that they're even validating it this much, talking about witnesses and opening statements. This should have been thrown out on its face. But who the hell knows? I mean, that's what impeachment is all about. It's about Ukraine and Biden and Trump. And now somebody's going to reference this at the trial.
I have the answer.
Okay.
Somebody is going to reference it at the trial, and that, you know, what trial? She's still holding the damn articles. And I knew there was more to this, and we're learning what it is now. Last night, we got some texts released by the House Democrats. They were texts between, as what one reporter calls them, Giuliani cronies. So yesterday, Brian Cates tweeted that they made some sort of an overture that the articles, they're going to vote in the House about whether to send the articles of impeachment over to the Senate or not. Which, what the hell is this? I have no words. What, didn't they already do that? Like, why would, anyway, they're
this
holding.
This is why I booked myself a very short extended weekend in Maine in May with Lauren. It's time to give yourself a craziness break, because this will drive you nuts.
I am doing that for spring break. I'm going to see a friend in Florida. And that's in April, and we have CPAC coming up. That's it. With the way 2020's gone so far, Frank, I'm surprised. I'll be shocked if my entire head is not gray by the time we get to March. Okay. Just saying. But what happens now is this. They're still holding these articles of impeachment. It's not because I think that, you know, people thinking that Pelosi is some idiot with no plan, I think need to reevaluate. I think they're doing this on purpose because they're waiting for other things that they're plotting and prodding in the background to begin to come to the forefront. And I think that this is one of them. We need to add some articles onto this because we found new evidence. If they sent the original ones over and went through a trial, right? And then they were dismissed, having them go through that process again so quickly after they had already done it would be laughed out of existence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now they haven't sent them over yet. So now they can say, actually, we need to have more hearings because there's more information here that we just didn't have 27 days ago. So we've got these text messages where this guy's trying to insinuate that they were watching Yovanovitch over in Ukraine. And there's one more piece of this that we're going to touch on in a second that'll make it round up a little bit. They're watching Yovanovitch in Ukraine, apparently, because what is she doing, Frank? She is making shady deals and threatening the Ukrainian government with who they can and cannot prosecute. So the wording in this is just a little bit interesting, given that we don't have the entire thing. So this writer decides that he's going to make it look like Giuliani is giving Ukraine's money, the Ukrainians' money, to physically harm Yovanovitch, which is just the most asinine, ridiculous bull I've ever heard in my entire life. So as the Democrats drip out this nonsense behind the scenes, like they drip it out, like the only thing they're not dripping out is the testimony that was given by Atkinson, the ICIG that we talked about the other day. That they're holding on to because it doesn't fit their narrative. But everything else that they can shape and mold like a little piece of clay, they're happy handing out to the public.
Oh, yeah. The media fell all over themselves with this latest hacking fairy tale. Fell all over themselves, of course. They haven't had any meat. They've been sucking on bones for the last however many months.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. They you know, what Russia thing can we come up with next? Did you happen to hear Adam Schiff on Maddow?
No.
Okay, I'm going to pause it for a second. This is Adam Schiff on, I don't know if this is Maddow, but he's going to say this. Yeah, it is.
Not at all surprised that this is indeed.
Damn it. This is Adam Schiff talking about the hack of Burisma by Russia. Ready?
Not at all surprised me. This is indeed
exactly what Bob Mueller warned about in his testimony, that the Russians would be at this again. Director Wray has said the same thing, and they appear, if this reporting is correct, to be in the midst of another hacking and potentially another dumping operation designed to influence another election in Donald Trump's favor. It is clear, if that's the case, that once again, they have a favorite. They don't want Joe Biden, it would appear, from this target. This would help Donald Trump. And I think the other thing that's apparent from this, if this reporting is correct, is the message that Vladimir Putin has gotten is not to stay out of American elections, but you're welcome to get involved in American elections as long as it helps Donald Trump. That seems to be the message that President Trump has conveyed.
If I were Vladimir Putin, what I would think right now, which he probably does, is that people like Adam, this is like listening to crazy ex-girlfriends. Crazy ex-girlfriends going and making up making up theory, just go off into lunacy land. Oh my God.
It's
what I want to, I just, man.
There's more to this we're going to listen to, but just to throw in there, this morning, basically the entire government of Russia resigned, just to let you know.
Well, can somebody also, I read that. I have to read more about it after we get off the air, but can somebody tell Adam Schiff that Joe Biden being the nominee would be the greatest gift ever?
I know.
I mean, he's probably the best matchup for Donald Trump. He's probably the best one.
Yeah, he is. Donald Trump is going to wipe the floor with him.
Joe Biden. Oh, my God.
Listen, they've already determined that man is going to be their nominee. I don't care what anybody says. They've already determined he's going to be the nominee. You know, we didn't even get to talk about the O'Keefe issue, the O'Keefe video from yesterday, which is, did you watch that?
Oh, of course I did. I did. That was the first thing I did in the second half of last night's show.
Woo.
Yeah, he's got a couple of Robespierres in his little campaign over there. When people ask, hey, Frank, you know, why should anybody ever need to have more than 10 rounds in a magazine?
It's because
Kyle Jurek, people like Kyle Jurek are running street teams for major party candidates now. That's why. He's talking French Revolution. He actually said Reign of Terror. For everybody out there, you have to realize this. Go and check it out. 1793 to 1794. Within 1 year, there were 17,000 executions in France. About 3,000 in Paris alone. That comparison, that doesn't even sniff what was going on with the terrors in the Great Purges in Soviet Russia. And they're not going after capitalists for the most part here. They're going after their own loyalists too. He even says it in these videos.
Yep.
Liberals get the wall first.
Yep.
Liberals get the wall first. You got to tell your friends who are getting tickled pink by all this socialism nonsense. They're not going to be made into a general. They're not going to be made into a general in the Great Revolution.
Absolutely insane. And let's finish this Adam Schiff clip, and then let's go to that. We've got about 10 minutes. It'll be a good way to close things out. Hold on.
At least the message that Vladimir Putin has received. So, you know, we're going to start by finding out what our intel agencies know about this. I have to say, Rachel, I'm a bit distressed to see this for the first time in a newspaper report.
That's bullshit. Just plain and simple. You think that that's the first time that he knew of this? Give me a break. I want to take...
Right. Hey, listen, leave him alone. Calm down, Tracy. He's very distressed. And on other days, he's deeply disturbed.
Clearly. Yeah.
Intel committee community is aware of this. That should have been brought to our attention by now. But I don't find it surprising. I do find it deeply disturbing. And I would hope that maybe both parties can get out ahead of this, even if the president won't, and condemn any Russian.
He only says one of five things, so you can bank on it. Adam Schiff will be deeply disturbed by something today.
Deeply disturbed.
Right down in that little pot belly of his.
God, he's horrible.
Yeah.
So anyway, a lot of people automatically now after that nonsense, which I hope we did a good job of explaining some things for folks that make things more clear and the landscape more clear. But after today, after yesterday and Project Veritas's expose of the field supervisor, field organizer for Bernie Sanders' Iowa campaign, right?
Iowa? I guess, I think so, yeah.
They're trying to say, well, this isn't the, you know, these aren't the types of people that are run. This is just an outlier. I don't think so. I really don't. That's as if Richard Spencer was running one of like, or the, now that we know so much about him, that's a different story. But the old Richard Spencer that we were made to believe was like running, you know, North Carolina or Vermont or New Hampshire operations for the President Trump reelection campaign. What do you think would be happening right now on the media? It would be this guy, you know, you could tell sometimes when he's talking, he's just being a, he's puffing himself up and he's, you know, anybody could take that guy out. Look at him. Do they realize what they're doing? Do they realize the bear that they're poking?
Yeah. Yeah. But this is their, they've conditioned themselves and they've been conditioned to want the fight. It's getting to that point now.
They like literally are going to cause riots and they'll do it under auspices, I'm sure, that are not transparent as well. What a shit show.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness sakes. You know who was arrested again yesterday?
Michael Avenatti?
Yes.
The savior? The savior of America?
Well, he was going to be their nominee.
Yeah, he was. And he was going to save us. He was a top flight, top tier Bill Maher panelist. He was the darling of Democrat America. And I would just have to say that everybody out there, if you were sucked up into the Avenatti fever out there and you were collecting your Avenatti memorabilia and stuff, I would put it on eBay right now. It's probably the most it's only going to depreciate from now on in big, big ways. So get your autographs. Get all of your Michael Avenatti autographs you've been collecting on eBay right now. Sell it in a box set. Get everything you can for it, because he's and then donate it to his legal fund, because obviously his woes have just begun.
It's
just good every once in a while to see a shitty person have legal problems. You know, you are given a platform on every major billion-dollar corporate television network for months to make rape accusations and tantalize people with rumors and things you're going to reveal and things that are going to take down the president and promises that he's not going to live out his term. I mean, it's what, you know, good. Finally, good.
It's good to see justice be, and it's California, for goodness sakes. Pretty surprising. To be honest, pretty now, surprising.
What he'll say is that, you know, he's being persecuted because he dared to cross paths with the president, and that everything he said about him in the past and his criminality is all true. But, you know, this is just whatever. If you're a scumbag, you're a scumbag.
Somebody actually tweeted underneath one of the tweets I saw saying, "Great, now watch, Trump is going to kill him.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's going to die in jail."
Yeah, we need to get rid of this guy. Quick. Quick. Can you imagine
he
Trump?
He knows too much.
Can you imagine Trump talking to, like, yeah, I don't know, asking somebody, "Hey, well, now that he's in jail, can we get rid of him? I mean, I'm this guy, he's scaring the shit out of me. Can we get rid of him?" Let's get rid of him.
You know what's really funny, too? I noticed, like, last night there was, we're going to listen really quickly to this just to end, but there was the debate last night, and I don't know anybody who's paying any attention to it because the Democrats are purposefully removing any focus on their debates because they don't want anybody to be listening to what these candidates are saying.
I can, like, see that. I can see that because I did not watch, and I, you know, aside from the hashtags, I don't see it being promoted at all anymore.
Yeah, they don't want anybody to hear the debates, likely because of this. Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is just Biden.
I think it's a mistake to pull out the small number of troops. The reason he made the strike was because our embassies were about to be bombed. I would not meet with absent preconditions instead of poking our finger in the eye of all our friends by stealing our intellectual property, their corporate state system to our significant disadvantage.
These are all independent clips, just to let you know. They're not like.
I was going to say, is he having a stroke? Jeez.
Sorry.
Running up here in this race. Reduce the cost of drug prices. It sets up, it allows all the drug companies, it allows you to.
I can't even continue.
Jeez. Remember, this is the guy Donald Trump enlisted foreign help to defeat.
Yeah.
It is the silliest part of the whole thing. I mean, you have the narrative, you have the whistleblower complaints, we have the aligning of the stars of everybody in the intelligence community, Atkinson there making sure that hearsay can be a whistleblower and you don't need any fact witnesses for anything. Forget about the actual coordination of these academics and these non-witnesses and these self-contradictory statements and Adam Schiff having to go out there and act out a new version of the transcript to make it sound any way compelling enough to go and move impeachment forward. Forget about all of the shit that we have seen up until this point. Just listen to this senile man with bleeding eyes.
I mean,
he can't say and he can't speak. Who the hell, if I had any strings to pull in Ukraine to help me get anything done in my life, I would never waste it on a Biden.
I know, but there's two more people we need to hear from real quick before we go. Okay. First of all, last night, apparently Warren had to read from her closing her notes to get through her closing statement. She couldn't even do it on her own. But here we go. Here's Tom Steyer bragging about how he has fought to kill American energy jobs.
I've been fighting the climate crisis. I've beat oil companies in terms of clean air laws. I've stopped fossil fuel plants in Oxnard, California. I fought the Keystone Pipeline. I have a history of over a decade of leading the climate fight. I've been
Tom Steyer.
I once took nuclear warheads and threw them into the sun.
Steyer is on every damn game on the Apple platform now as a cut-through ad. Like, I play Words with Friends in the mornings just to, like, while I'm listening to whatever I need to listen to. And every 5 seconds, it's a freaking Steyer ad. I'm like, Lord, gosh, stop it. Brought to you by, yeah. We've got a little bit of Warren and Sanders going back and forth about
sexism?
Yeah. You want to hear it?
Sure. I haven't heard anything from last night.
Here we go. It's a minute.
In order to defeat the most dangerous president in the history of our country.
So, Senator Sanders,
the most dangerous president. He has staffers that are more dangerous than Donald Trump.
You know,
he has low paid staffers, state level staffers that are more dangerous than Donald Trump.
People will die
by the hand of Kyle Jurek. If we do not get elected, I don't know if I can control Kyle Jurek. Please, please, this is the last time I can ask you. I can't control him anymore.
I'm at the mercy of Kyle Jurek.
Please, if this doesn't work out, I don't know what Kyle might do.
Here we go.
You're saying that you never told Senator Warren that a woman could not win the election.
That is correct.
Senator Warren, what did you think when Senator Sanders told you a woman could not win the election?
Wait, so he admits to saying it?
No!
Okay.
They ask him, you say you never told Senator Warren that a woman could not win the election. He says that is correct. And then they ask her, Senator Warren, how did you feel when Bernie Sanders told you?
Wow. Oh, my God. So it's just like, okay, so Trump is taking out Biden with Ukraine. Everybody seems to be trying to take out Bernie Sanders to elevate Elizabeth Warren. And Elizabeth Warren is the poster child for cultural appropriation. She's a liar if there ever was one. She's just a mean woman. And because of the remember, Bernie Sanders supporters sitting out 2016 after they know he got destroyed and rooked was a big – another big contributing factor as to why Hillary Clinton's campaign bottomed out.
Yeah.
So right now, I don't know how Elizabeth Warren thinks that she is going to be making any friends with people who support Bernie Sanders, because he's got a very loyal fan base. So she's not going to take anything away from him. Everybody is isolated. Every candidate is isolated, and there's no crossover support. This is awful for them.
I know, it's horrible. And not only that, but just remember this. I don't have any numbers or hard. I'm going to tell you right now, I witnessed this firsthand personally. A major, major, major percentage of Bernie supporters, believe it or not, crossed over to be Trump supporters. So many of them. I have so many more progressive people that have been subscribers or Patreon contributors or whatever who are not. They're not buying the Bernie anymore, which kind of left him with the extremists that support him. Here, listen to the rest.
I disagreed. Bernie is my friend, and I am Real. Not here to try to fight with Bernie. But look, this question about whether or not a woman can be president has been raised, and it's time for us to attack it head on. And I think the best way to talk about who can win is by looking at people's winning record. So, can a woman beat Donald Trump? Look at the men on this stage. Collectively, they have lost 10 elections. The only people on this stage who have won every single election that they've been in are the women.
Are we six?
Elizabeth.
Boys are better than girls, and girls are better than boys.
Yeah. If you look at everybody in this, and we're all the girls. We win our state Senate elections. Yeah. Well, I wonder if that would even work out very well if the 17th Amendment was gone. You know, who knows there? I mean, but this is what I'm talking about. It's so nonsensical. And no, nobody is asking whether or not a woman can be president. That is, I mean, everybody wonders when the first woman will be president.
Get a good candidate.
That's all anybody has ever done. What kind of ideas do you have? If you're not speaking anybody's language and you're just talking about genitals and socialism, no, I don't care what the hell you are.
Yeah, it's.
But imagine that. I mean, that was a whole lot. I'm surprised that Bernie didn't say, "I object to what you just did right there to me."
He just sat there like, Jesus, really, guy?
How did he not?
Even the audience was hysterical about it.
He got set up by CNN. Who was the mediator that did that?
It was.
In order to defeat the most dangerous president in the history of our country.
So, Senator Sanders, I do want to be clear.
I don't.
You're saying that you never told Senator Warren that a woman could bear not with me. Win the election.
That is correct.
Senator Warren.
It doesn't show her.
What did you think?
I don't know who it is. Defeat the
My God. That's sick. That is sick.
Somebody made a joke yesterday. You don't have to use the color television to watch the debates anymore.
That's good.
It's all old white people. That's, you know, the party of inclusion and racial diversity, right?
Right.
Well, that's it for today, Frank. We went a little over, but like I said, it would be a busy episode, and it sure was.
Yes, indeed it was.
You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. You guys, don't forget to tune in on Friday because you're going to hear our interview with Joe Flynn. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you on Friday.
Later.
This week on Crush Performance, a must-listen episode as we get you set up for success here in 2020. Are you focused? Are you in the moment? If your thoughts are in the past, if they're in the future or focused on the wrong things, it's not just very difficult to be successful, it's virtually impossible. On this week's episode, we lay it all out as we discuss what you need to be thinking about as you get set to attack your goals and objectives with Crush favorite, the world's number one coach of champions, Jim Fannin. So join us as we talk strategy, procedure, and tricks of the trade for designing your blueprint for success in 2020 right here on Crush Performance. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kershaw, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.